Well, happy 4th of July to all of you. And I'll tell you, we do have a great country. And we are a blessed people living here in the United States of America. And I really appreciated the passage of Scripture that was read from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, talking about the Holy Spirit. And isn't it interesting to note there that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The Holy Spirit brings liberty. And we are a people who love liberty. It's great to be an American. In this country, when I think of being an American, what is it that makes that so special? And the first thing that comes to my mind is our freedom, our liberties. We have so many civil liberties that are so precious that so few nations throughout history have really enjoyed to any great degree. And that is a great blessing. And we also share in some glory. There's some greatness. There is an awful lot of prosperity here in America. There's an awful lot of victory. There's an awful lot of, so many people want to come to America. And, you know, we might not like, you know, all the people coming up through Mexico over the border, but they come up because America's so great. It is a great land. It really, really is. A land of victory, a land of glory, a land of liberty. But we are a people that are members of the kingdom of God. As Christians, whether we live in America or any other country of the world, we are first members of the kingdom of God, of Christ's kingdom. And in that kingdom, we enjoy complete liberty. Liberty that is found in Jesus Christ. Liberty that is found in the Holy Spirit of God who comes into our life and fills us and gives us a freedom and sense of being free, of being liberated, of walking in freedom, in spiritual freedom. And so the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is a great blessing. The filling of the Holy Spirit is God's will for our life that will bring great blessing to our lives for the glory and honor of God Almighty. In America, there are a lot of people that don't appreciate the blessings that they have as Americans. A lot of people. They fight against it. It's a problem. In the kingdom of God, there are a lot of Christians who seem to forget the wonders and the great blessings that are found in the Lord Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit that indwells us and empowers us and guides us. So we see in Christians' lives, in the church, problems of sinfulness and carnality, fighting, arguing, rivalry, jealousy, complaining, negativity, hardness of heart, lack of feeling, spiritual deadness, lack of control, excessiveness, foolishness, carelessness, wastefulness, ignorance. And why? Because we are so weak. And Romans 7, that was read to us this morning, so well explains the state that all of us face, the frustrations of our sin within. And we are a weak people. We need the Holy Spirit and His help to overcome our infirmities that we have. We need God's help and power. Praise God for the blessing and the power, the working of the Holy Spirit that brings abundant spiritual life, fruitfulness, liberty, victory in our lives for the glory of God. The Holy Spirit brings this about through His work of regeneration. heart cleansing, and renewal within us. He brings this about through striving and resisting against sin in the flesh within us. And we have the Holy Spirit within us that is fighting against the flesh and our fleshly urges. And that is a wonderful thing that we need to utilize in our life. Word teaching, conviction, encouragement within us. The Holy Spirit is doing this, leading us, fruit bearing, and helping us in our many infirmities. And also in the area of filling. The Holy Spirit fills His people. That's our focus this morning. From Ephesians chapter 5. I want you to turn to that in your Bible. Ephesians chapter 5. Our focus verse is verse 18. But allow me, if I might, to just read it in its context. Starting at verse 14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Core verse, verse 18. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. What I like to do is I like to look at this biblical teaching from this passage of Scripture, considering its meaning, what it is, considering its motive, why is it so necessary, and considering its means, how is it accomplished? It's very important when we look at a passage of Scripture that we look at it in its context, and the context here is Paul's letter to the Ephesian believers. This letter is a wonderful letter. I used to identify Ephesians as the letter of the church. We learn so much about the doctrine of the church there. It is interesting to note that the Holy Spirit in the New Testament seems greatly connected with the church. In fact, on the day of Pentecost, when he came and entered into the world in such a powerful way, it just so happened to be at the time of the birth of the New Testament church. I mean, there's a connection here that we see. And so it is a book about the church, but it's a book also that talks about our salvation, about Christ, and about living the sanctified life, living a holy life for Him. We see in chapter 3, verses 14 through 21, Paul's prayer. And in that prayer, he's praying for the Ephesian believers. He's praying that they have a quality spiritual life, a life that has depth to it, that has breadth to it, a life that is founded in Jesus Christ and filled at the core with the Lord Jesus Christ. A life that is empowered by the power of the Spirit of God within. And in that prayer also, there is the request. Paul makes a request that the believers would be filled with all the fullness of God. Chapter 4, chapter 5, a lot of practical stuff. Living the Christian life is big. I mean, Paul wouldn't have talked about it so much if it was something that people just sort of automatically did. We need to be urged to live the sanctified life. And so we see that in, throughout chapter 4 and 5 particularly. I beseech you that you walk worthy of your calling, chapter 4 and verse 1. Keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, chapter 4 and verse 3. There is one body, the church, and one Spirit, chapter 4 and verse 4. Don't walk as other Gentiles in the vanity of your mind, chapter 4 and verse 17. Be followers of God as dear children, chapter 5 and verse 1. And then as we get to this core verse, verse 18, at verse 14, we read, awake from sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you life. Now you say, well, that's an evangelistic challenge, right? He's talking to lost people. You know, the gospel should wake people up from their spiritual deadness. And so that they live and they have the light of Christ in their life. And that is true. But he's quoting this here to Christians. It's like maybe there sometimes seems to be Christians who are asleep, that for all practical purposes in their Christian walk, they're practically dead. They need to wake up. They need to live the life consciously that's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 15, they're told to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, walking circumspectly. In other words, being able to see and be conscious all around you what is going on, so that will help to determine how you can walk in the right direction in your life. Very, very important that we get this idea that wisdom is tied in very closely with the idea of the filling of the Spirit. He says, redeem the time because the days are evil, chapter 5 and verse 16. And then in the verse, just prior to this key verse, it says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. That's found in verse 17. Wherefore, it's kind of like the beginning of a new thought. It's sort of like we need to get this if we're properly to understand, more fully understand what verse 18 is talking about. And interesting there that there is, first of all, a negative prohibition. Be ye not unwise. In other words, don't be foolish. That's a prohibition. God does not want Christians to be foolish, okay? And then there's a contrast. But, now get this, negative prohibition, contrast, but. And then there's a positive injunction, something that God wants for them. This is something that needs, a positive thing that needs to be in their life. Understanding what the will of the Lord is. Don't be a fool. On the other hand, understand what God's will is in your life. That's very important because that kind of ties in this whole thing. The filling of the Spirit and understanding the will of the Lord are very, very closely connected. Then we get to our key verse, verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And different translations will translate it in different ways. Maybe a more literal way of translating it would be not drunk with wine, or do not keep being drunk with wine, in which is unsavedness or disintegration, but be filled with the Spirit, or keep being filled with the Spirit. We have the word and. That's a connective word. That is connecting verse 18 with verse 17. You don't want to separate the two. You really need verse 17 if you're going to properly understand verse 18. It says, and, kind of following the same here, this connection, following the same pattern. It's interesting there. There's a pattern of negative prohibition and a positive injunction. There's something that they're not supposed to do, and there's something that is supposed to be happening. You see that in verse 17? You see that same pattern in verse 18. And there is this dual command of each verse relating. Negative, prohibited, foolishness and drunkenness, injunction to understand the will of God, and to be filled with Spirit. The negative prohibition, the positive injunction, dual imperatives, they're together. There's contrast and there's similarity here. Just, it's an interesting pattern to notice. And I think God wants us to get this, to more fully understand what is being said here. And we see here this negative prohibition. Well, let me first of all talk about the subject. Who is supposed to be doing or not doing these things? You, in the plural. In other words, y'all, the Southerners have it right. You all. This is for all of us. This is not just for a certain set of Christians. This is not something that is just for the really spiritual elite type of Christians who sort of have a kind of a pseudo-Gnostic, you know, I've reached that level of spirituality that I understand what this is, and I'm one of those special chosen people. No. You all. This is for all believers. The Lord wants all of us to be filled. We go on here. The action to be done. Two contrasting verbs. They're passive. They're present. Negative prohibition. Be not drunk with wine. Don't be drunk. Don't be taking an intoxicant into your body and allowing it to intoxicate you. Don't be in the pattern of doing it. But, in contrast, there is something that is to be happening. Be filled with the Spirit. And that is the Holy Spirit. He's both the active agent and he is the substance that is filling them. Now, these are just a few things here that we notice here. And we're going to go on. The sentence, by the way, at the end of verse 18 does not end with a period. It ends with a semicolon because verses 19 and 20 and 21 are connected with verse 18. To understand how to be filled with the Holy Spirit, how it becomes possible, you've got to connect it with those following verses, which is what we're going to do. But let's talk about what is the filling of the Spirit? This is one way of putting it. You can look at many, many different books to get many different ways that they might explain it. But it is being open and yielded to the Holy Spirit's control in every part of your life, allowing Him to saturate and to swell your entire being with His presence, His power, and His qualities so that His work springs forth in your life. There's a progression in this filling. There first of all is an establishment of the Holy Spirit in your life. That happens at salvation. Now, we are not believers in what is called the second blessing, that the Holy Spirit comes later on after you're saved. No, when you accept Christ, you get the Holy Spirit. He comes into your life. He indwells you. In fact, if the Holy Spirit does not indwell you, then you are not a child of God. Romans chapter 8 makes that absolutely clear. There is a stationing of the Holy Spirit within you, a kind of a home base that is placed within you when you trust Jesus Christ as salvation. That happens. But then, the life of sanctification begins, where the Lord seeks to grow you spiritually, to increase you in the area of holiness, of being given up and set apart unto Him from sin and evil to a life of service and dedication and devotion to the Lord. There's a kind of conquest of the whole life that happens, much like God is invading that sinner who has repented. There's a home base established within the heart of that believer. And then God seeks, by His Holy Spirit, to go out and to conquer the entire life for him. And that happens through the filling, through the saturation of the Holy Spirit. He begins His work of saturating every part of our life. And then He goes on and He begins this work of swelling us, of growing us, of making us bigger as Christians in our spiritual life and being. And then He springs forth from our life. His work begins to come out in our life. It is evident that He is inside of us because He is coming out of us. And it is an amazing thing. This is all part of this thing we call the filling of the Holy Spirit. There's variations within it. There are different manners involved, different ways in different people over time and between people. Everyone does not have the same effect of the filling as one person or another. He does it in different ways. Bezalel was blessed with a great ability to build the items that were found in the tabernacle of God. He had a know-how to do it. He was filled to do that job. I like to think I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I pray that I am. I desire that with all of my heart and soul. But I'll tell you, there has never been a time in my entire Christian life that I have ever been made capable in any way, shape, or form to work with gold or with silver or with wood in any way that I would make a quality, a piece of item or furniture for the tabernacle. The filling doesn't affect me that way. Filling can affect people in different ways, and we need to know that. It differs in intensity. There's fluctuations, ebb and flow that goes on in different degrees over time. You're not always filled with the Holy Spirit. You're not always doing that. You would drop dead of a heart attack. You couldn't do that. That's not God's design. God has a pattern. And He is a way of working within us. I like to think of the example there in the early church when Peter was released from arrest from before the Sanhedrin and came back, and the whole church was rejoicing and they were praying to God Almighty that God would do a wonderful work and continue to give the servants of God boldness to stand for Christ and to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, to keep doing it. And the Bible says that God caused the whole place to shake, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they all went out preaching Christ the Lord. Not just the apostles, all of them went out doing that. There was a real outpouring of the filling of the Holy Spirit in a mighty way. It doesn't always happen that way. But sometimes God does things in that way, in a powerful way. And so just understand that the filling does have variations in tendency. You know, sometimes a shy Christian will remain to be a relatively shy and quiet Christian and yet absolutely filled with the Holy Spirit. There's a beauty. And others are made very, very bold and outspoken and very, very quick. And that's the working of the Holy Spirit. What I'm trying to say is that the Holy Spirit's filling can result in different ways. And you see that in Holy Scripture. And its manifestation, it can show itself in different gifts with different people. There are illustrations. Allow me to share one with you. This is a balloon. It's kind of a cool color. It almost looks like my skin. Well, not exactly, but kind of. I hope this doesn't pop in my face. Is that full? Is that full? Kind of. But we wouldn't really say that. Is that full? More. Is that full? Yeah. That's a pretty good balloon. I could blow it up farther, but it would pop, and then my whole illustration would be destroyed. But you know what? This is a pretty good balloon. It's got bounce to it. I mean, why is it that when we look at a balloon, we smile? It brings joy. There's something vibrant about a balloon when it's filled with air. That's cool. That's the way a balloon is supposed to be. How do you like a balloon like this? It's soft, it's floppy, it's wrinkled. You can't do anything with it. I'm not smiling. It's got air in it, but it's not full. It's not useful. I mean, if this were tied, I'd probably throw it out. You know what? Christians can be like a balloon. Maybe they got the Holy Spirit within them. Maybe he's stationed there because they're saved. But their life is not vibrant for Christ. He's not affecting their life. He's not going forth and bringing the joy and the peace and the usefulness that is meant to be. We need to be full, full of the Holy Spirit, like a balloon that's filled with air. There's another example actually given in the text here, an illustration. It's kind of a negative, like a contrasting illustration. And that's the illustration of drunkenness here. And when we look at this passage there, as we read there in verse 18, it says, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." The negative commandment: don't be drunk with wine. Drunkenness is identified as unsavedness. It literally means unsaved, like an unsaved life, a sick, disintegrating, and trashed life of excess and riot and lack of control. And drunkenness is like that. It's not something to be laughed at. It's a pathetic thing. It's a pathetic state that people fall into. It really, really is. The drunkenness is the result of being filled with wine. That's what happens here. In fact, on the day of Pentecost, it's interesting, though there was a group of people on the day who didn't understand anything that the apostles were saying in the praises of God, because they were not from those various countries, and they thought the apostles were drunk with wine. That's what it looked like to them. In reality, they were filled with the Spirit and were miraculously praising God in languages that they had never learned. They knew them supernaturally by the filling of the Holy Spirit, and people from those countries heard those Galileans praising God in that language. It was a clear, indisputable miracle that was occurring. And yet, some of them, it just sounded like a bunch of drunken babble because they didn't understand those languages. Contrast and similarity to the two fillings. Listen, the filling with wine leads to control by wine, which leads to a life of degradation, of uncontrol, a life of ruination. The filling of the Spirit leads leads to being controlled by the Spirit of God, which leads to a life that is uplifted, that has been brought under the control of the Holy Spirit of God to bring men to a state whereby they might live in wisdom and understanding and putting to practice the will of God in their life. Interesting thing. And the effects of the two fillings. Wine filling adversely affects the whole person in drunkenness. The mind is gone. They don't make any sense. Their emotions are all over the place. You know, either they're happy when they're usually never happy, or they're angry when they're usually never angry. Their emotions get messed up. It affects their attentiveness. They can't see things. They can't keep their mind focused on anything. It affects their restraint, or it causes them to have a lack of restraint, a lack of control in every part of so that they have no control as the drunkenness gets worse and worse. Spirit filling positively affects the whole person in holy sobriety in his heart, in his mind. His mind is thinking clearly. His will is clear and decisive. His emotions are set right. He's under the control of the Spirit, and he's brought about with the fruit of the Spirit, with temperance, an ability to have some self-control in his life and in every part of his body. You see, there's similarities and there's differences between being drunk with wine and being filled with the Spirit. And then there's the illustration of the fountain of water. A fountain has a water tank in it. When the water tank is only partially filled, the water just sits there. Low level, stagnation, dysfunctional. It's not working. When the tank is filled and overflowing, there's a high water level, there's power, there's movement, and there's springing forth of the water coming out of that fountain. Now, sometimes the water springing forth goes with different degrees of intensity, but it's working, and it's a beautiful fountain, and it's the way it ought to be. Kind of reminds us of what we read of in John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. You see, Jesus was talking about something that would be happening around the corner pretty soon. And after Jesus Christ ascended, the Holy Spirit came in, we see a pattern that is established after Pentecost for us today as Christians. And that is, first of all, we thirst for salvation. We thirst. We come to Christ. We drink in His person. We drink in His Word, which is the gospel. We drink in His salvation and everlasting life. And we also drink in His Holy Spirit into us. And then the sanctification portion happens. Those now believing in Jesus will have rivers of living water flowing out from their heart. That's the pattern that God wants. He wants our lives to be filled with the Holy Spirit, swelling with the Holy Spirit, saturated with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit springing forth from our lives in a rich and wonderful way. And why is the filling of the Spirit so necessary, so important? Well, because we're weak, because we need it, because it says in Romans chapter 8 that the Spirit of God helps our infirmities. And I know that's in the area of prayer, but He helps our infirmities in every aspect of our life. He is our helper, and we need His help. We need Him to affect every part of our life and our body and our thinking and what we do with our hands, with where we go, with our feet, with what we see, with our eyes, with what we hear, with our ears, with what we say, with our mouth. He needs to affect every part of us. It is so very, very important. We do it because we need Him. It's important also because of the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ was not helpless. Jesus Christ was not someone who was unholy. Jesus Christ is holy and always has been holy. And yet, even he, as a man, was filled with the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 4 and verse 1, Jesus, being full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. You see, Jesus has set the example. You want to be a Christian? You want to follow Jesus' example? Then be filled with the Spirit. He was, we ought to be too. But the third reason why we ought to be filled with the Spirit is because of what we read here in verse 18. It is a commandment. Christians are to be filled with the Spirit, the Bible says. It's a commandment. It's the will of God. The Holy Spirit has declared it and recorded it in Scripture for us. It's what He wants for our lives. He commands us to do it. We do it because He commanded it. It's an imperative. It's the will of God. And it's interesting as you look at the word there. The word here, the imperative command to all of you, is present tense right now, and it's continuous. It's what the Lord wants for us continually, present and now, and it's also, now get this, it's passive. It's passive. The Spirit is the one that does the filling. We do not fill ourselves. You don't go and stir up those, as it were, the Holy Spirit. That you're not going to be telling the Holy Spirit to do it. You're not going to be making Him do it. You don't. No. It's passive. He's the one who does it. However, we are commanded to let it happen to us. We must allow this to become a reality in our life. Therefore, there are some things that we can do to make this or see that this happens to us so that the Holy Spirit Himself is filling us with Himself. It's so important. So how do we do this? First of all, by biblical wisdom and understanding God's will. Being wise and understanding, like we read in verse 17. You've got to be wise and understanding of God's will. We get wisdom from God. We learn what God's will is by reading the truth, the Word of God that has been given to us in His Holy Scripture. Listen to me. Sometimes Christians are afraid of this whole idea of being filled with the Spirit. You know, they're just afraid we're going to do something radical and wild and crazy. No, it doesn't work like that. Biblical filling of the Holy Spirit is consistent with wisdom. It's consistent with understanding what the will of God is and being consistent with what God has revealed in Holy Scripture. In other words, it goes with the Word of God. We don't create a radical, wild, crazy kind of filling that some groups will tend to do. No, it is consistent with wisdom. Make sure that it lines up with what the Word of God clearly teaches. And then it involves yieldedness. to the Spirit. Letting the Holy Spirit fill and control you. Yes, you let Him do it. It's remembering the Spirit that is doing the filling. You are the passive recipient of the action. You are the one receiving that blessing. You just want to be very open and inviting for the Holy Spirit to do His work in your life. Open yourself to Him. Allow His free flow within and without. Don't resist. Don't fight against Him. Surrender to Him and His will and His workings. It's allowing, it's entrusting yourself. I'm going to give my life to You, God. I yield myself to You, Holy Spirit. Have Your way in my life. And you read the Word of God and you begin to see it happening in your life. And it is a beautiful thing that God has. Clear away the clogs and the blockages that hinder His spiritual saturation. And there are sometimes, just as sometimes people get blood clots and it cuts the blood flow away from certain parts of their body and can cause great damage. Sometimes we need to clear away the things, the clogs in our spiritual system that are hindering His free flow. There are things in our life that need to be removed, that we need to repent of, that we need to ask God to surgically, in a spiritual sense, remove from our life to allow the free flow of the Holy Spirit within our lives. And then we need to be patient in continuation over time. Keep being filled with the Spirit. That's what He's saying. Not like once, but all the time. It ought to be our pattern in life to be filled with the Spirit. Keep being filled with the Spirit. And wait for growth in your life and wait for Him to burst forth His work in your life. There's some waiting that needs to be done. There's participation in spiritual music. Now we get to verse 19. Take a look at that. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Look, this is all one sentence. I mean, there's not a break in thought here. Spiritual music and the filling of the Holy Spirit go together. Kind of like the young lady who gave the testimony this morning, how she woke up thinking about a song and how it seemed to clear her. And the Holy Spirit does that. The Holy Spirit uses music. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. This is what they call a participle. It's something that modifies or goes along with the key verb. The key verb, be filled with the Spirit. So how do we do that? In what sense? I mean, how does that become a reality? Well, at least in some part, by speaking to yourself in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We got to be doing that. If we're communicating, we're speaking, we're verbalizing this spiritual music to ourselves and to one another back and forth in the church of God, it stirs the heart. Because music, especially spiritual music, is a great blessing that God brings. It's the language of emotions. It softens hearts. It stirs feelings. It stirs our spirit within us. There's just something about that. Why often we find even in revivals, there's great music that goes along as the Spirit of God convicts the lives of people and people change and yield their life to Christ. It's so often it's connected with spiritual music. That's the way God works. David played the harp for King Saul, and it settled his soul. We see during the days of Jehoshaphat, the Levites sang the praises of God. They didn't go out with weapons to fight the enemy. They went out singing the Word of God and the Spirit of God, and God worked in the enemies, and they all killed each other. And the children of Israel marched there singing. When they got there, all their enemies were killed and dead. They killed themselves. The Lord did that. It's connected with music. Music and the workings of God seem to go hand in hand. And we need to understand that in all of these different ways. And so spiritual music, allow that to minister to your heart. Holy music and the work of the Holy Spirit go hand in hand to bring about conviction and filling in our lives. And then there's participation in thanksgiving. This is the second participle. So we got speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, verse 19. 20, we have giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be filled with the Spirit together with thanksgiving. Be a thankful person. The active participle here, giving thanks. When? Always. For what? For all things. That's hard sometimes. Sometimes even the bad things, and yet knowing that God has some purpose and allowing that to come into your life. For to whom? To God the Father. How? In the name of Jesus Christ. Thanksgiving causes us to be overwhelmed with God's goodness and grace. Being overwhelmed with God's goodness and grace clears out the spiritual arteries in our lives, allowing the free flow of the good God and the Holy Spirit to flow through us to every part of our spiritual being. Thanksgiving clears away complaining, ungratefulness, bitterness, negativity. These are qualities that are not found in spirit-filled people. And when we allow these things to be present in our life and to fester, the filling of the Holy Spirit will not happen. Thanksgiving enhances and reinforces joy and contentment in the Spirit of God. You see, we need to be practicing the giving of thanks. That will allow, that will complement the filling of the Spirit. And the third participle is submission. As we read in verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. The word here means to place under or to put in line. Who? Yourselves. We are to put ourselves in line. God has an order of authority, and we need to put ourselves in proper position. We need to submit ourselves. That's the meaning. How? To whom? To one another. You say, what? Submit? Yeah, submit. Maybe you're a husband, and you say, well, you know, my wife's supposed to be submitted to me, but I don't have to be submitted to her. In a general way, in a general practice of life, we are to submit ourselves one to another. We are to be a submitting people, submitting ourselves, serving the Lord Jesus Christ and serving one another, just like the Holy Spirit serves us. The Holy Spirit, that third member of the Trinity, excels in serving us, doing things as it were behind the scene to help us. He's the one. And when we follow that quality and we submit ourselves to one another, He works in a wonderful, wonderful way. He really does. Submission of self to others enhances humility, kindness, mercy, service. Submission of self to others removes pride. It removes rivalry. It removes tyranny. It removes jealousy. It removes strife and fighting, which so often we can find in the lives of Christians. All of this, ultimate submission is to be to God in reverential fear, and our submission to the Holy Spirit to fill us without resistance and to have His way in our life. I might just add one more. Pray. Pray for the filling. Pray for Him to have His way. pray for the fruit of this, of the filling in your life. In Ephesians chapter 3, as we look at that prayer, if I might just read this prayer, it's beautiful. Verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. To be filled with all the fullness of God. Not only filled with the Holy Spirit, but to be filled with Christ, to be filled with God the Father, to be filled with the triune God. Pray. Pray for yourself. Pray for others. Pray together that the Holy Spirit would fill us for the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to do that. You need to thirst for Him, come to Him, accept Him, trust Him, believe in Him with all of your heart and soul. And in doing so, you will receive not only forgiveness of sin and the gift of eternal life, you'll receive the Holy Spirit who will establish Himself, station Himself in you. Praise God. But don't let it stop there. Let the Holy Spirit have His way. Let Him saturate every part of your life. Give Him access to every part of your life. Let Him swell you and grow you. Yes, grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Grow in the grace of the Holy Spirit as He is doing the work of sanctification in your walk and in your life. Allow Him to swell you and make you big. And allow Him to spring forth in your life in a wonderful way, that His work would come out in you. Be filled with the Holy Spirit.